This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Ethanol and electric-powered vehicles face numerous challenges, some independent of each other and some in conflict, as ethanol fights to keep and grow its place in the national fuel market. The Biden administration's push for electric over ethanol-powered vehicles amid possible supply chain shortages of lithium batteries and a lack of recharging stations are but some of the competing hurdles the two fuels face. Renewable Fuels Association's Tony Bredenkamp suggests electric vehicles won't replace those that run on liquid fuels for quite a while.
For the next several decades, you're looking at the vast majority of vehicles on the road being of a liquid fuel variety. So if the effort is to decarbonize and to clean the environment from a climate change perspective, biofuels could be doing a whole lot more than we're doing right now.
Especially if it takes years to build the recharging stations needed to power a big fleet of electric vehicles. And Bredenkamp says that corn ethanol doesn't need to compete with battery power.
Imagine a vehicle that combines plug-in hybrid technology with flex fuel technology. So we have a vehicle that can run on both of those platforms, electric and liquid fuel. It extends the range, so we don't have that range issue for the consumer. And when they go to liquid fuel, they have the opportunity to use E85.
Which Bredenkamp says, based on carbon capture in planted soils, could make corn ethanol the only fuel with a carbon-negative footprint. And in the latest news from the USDA, they released Monday the reopening of the sign-up window for the CFAP 2, or the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program. CFAP 2 provides financial assistance that gives producers the ability to absorb increased marketing costs associated with the COVID pandemic. The initial CFAP 2 sign-up ended in December, but USDA has reopened the sign-up period for CFAP 2 for at least 60 days. Producers have multiple options to apply for CFAP 2, including through an online application portal and working directly with the FSA office at their local USDA service center. USDA will also finalize routine decisions and minor formula adjustments on applications and begin processing payments for certain applications filed as part of the CFAP additional assistance. Additionally, USDA announced $2 million to establish partnerships with organizations to provide outreach and technical assistance to socially disadvantaged farmers. A USDA spokesperson says this funding will support grassroots organizations and public institutions as we support their producers. In other ag news, this time from the Farm Bureau Federation, President Zippy Duval says the organization objects to a proposal by several lawmakers to tax unrealized capital gains at death and roll back the stepped-up basis on those capital gains. Duval says taxing capital gains when a loved one passes away would have a devastating impact on farm and ranch families. Even more so, Duval says, if the stepped-up basis tool is taken out of the toolbox. Stepped-up basis encourages families to grow their business and pass them on to the second generation, and elimination could force those families to sell their farm just to pay the taxes. The value of many farms is tied up in land and equipment. AFBF says cash flow on most farms is much too small to pay large capital gains. Farm Bureau says these taxes would cause further consolidation in agriculture, with small farms more likely to be forced out of business by the tax liability. For the third week in a row, the national average price of gasoline dropped, declining a half cent last week to $2.86 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy. The national average stands 9.9 cents higher than a month ago and nearly 96 cents higher than last year. The national average price of diesel fell 0.2 cents in the last week and stands at $3.08 a gallon. Gas Buddy's Patrick DeHaan says last week was a mixed bag for consumers at the pump as gas prices in half of states rose while the other half saw a decline. DeHaan says gasoline prices may see a second run to reach a national average of $3 a gallon in the months ahead. Data from the Energy Information Administration last week printed a decline in U.S. oil inventory, which now stands at about a 6% above the average range for this time of year. Meanwhile, U.S. gasoline demand continues to rise for the week ending March 27, as Americans continued to get outside amidst better conditions and fewer travel restrictions due to COVID-19. In other Ag News here on your Tuesday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is putting forth new programs and initiatives in place to bring more assistance to farmers, ranchers, and producers who've been hit hard by COVID-19 market disruption. The new initiative, called the USDA Pandemic Assistance for Producers, will reach a broader set of producers than previous aid programs. USDA is putting at least $6 billion toward new programs, half of the total of $12 billion in aid that's now available. During a Zoom call with NAFB farm broadcasters, Vilsack said the resources come from prior COVID assistance packages as well as traditional USDA programs.
We're obviously focused on making sure that we're carrying out the formula payments under CFAP 1, 2, and AA, rolling those into this more comprehensive effort. This is going to allow us to make payments to farmers who already received the benefits of these programs. Rules have already been written, not much administrative work to be done here. So we're in a position to make payments and to begin making those payments very, very soon in the month of April. Payments will involve, under CFAP 1, payments to cattle producers. They don't need to apply. They don't need to take additional steps. It's essentially providing additional resources.
Rates for those producers will get published at farmers.gov/CFAP. Here this month, the USDA will also begin paying out $20 per acre payments to eligible crops under the CFAP 2 program. Those crops are either the flat rate or price-triggered crops. He says USDA is making changes in the aid package to help more people get the assistance they might not have received in earlier aid packages.
We're going to basically make some adjustments. There was an opportunity for swine producers and contract growers, poultry, to receive additional payments. The problem was the formula that was used in initial efforts really created a circumstance of inequity between the size of operations. And so we're going to try to smooth that out a little bit and try to make sure that we set up a formula that will allow for adequate resources and help to swine and contract growers. On sales commodities, which are a wider range of products, when we calculated the base upon which your payment would be made, we didn't allow them to take into consideration insurance that they may have received, indemnity payments, NAP payments, or WIP plus payments that they may have received. We should allow them to recalculate, if you will, and we're viewing this process and allowing them to essentially go back in time to basically shore up the amount of loss that they had in fact sustained so that they get a payment that makes sense.
The agency is also using some existing USDA programs to provide assistance where it's needed the most.
We're taking resources that come from traditional USDA programs that are specifically designed for local and regional food systems and basically getting them out the door in an expedited way. There's roughly $500 million that we've identified of new funding from these programs that we're going to try to expedite getting out the door quickly, which should provide help and assistance to small, mid-sized producers, specialty crop producers, and others. It's $75 million for farmers for training and outreach. That's designed primarily for socially disadvantaged farmers to give them some additional information and training.
And finally, the agency is dedicating at least $6 billion to develop new programs or modify existing proposals using funding from the Consolidated Appropriations Act and other coronavirus aid that went unspent by the prior administration.
We don't have the rules necessarily written because these are people and groups and entities that have not yet received money or haven't received sufficient resources from USDA. So we want to give them an opportunity to participate because they too have been impacted and affected by COVID. I'll give you an example. Dairy donation program. We recognized during the course of COVID how difficult it was for certain commodities to donate to food assistance. The transition from food service to food assistance was difficult. We're creating resources under a dairy donation program to make it a little bit easier to remove that disincentive for donation in the event we have future problems. We learn from this experience so that we're better prepared.
Again, more information is available online at farmers.gov/CFAP. And in Illinois State Ag News for your Tuesday, the Midwestern Hemp Database is accepting producer applications for the 2021 growing season. Illinois is among four states involved in the project, according to University of Illinois commercial ag educator Philip Alberti.
So the Midwestern Hemp Database is it's a private-public partnership between several land-grant institutions in the Midwest, at Michigan State, University of Illinois, University of Wisconsin, Purdue. And what we have done is we have partnered with some private labs here in the Midwest to provide growers with discounted cannabinoid testing, which is one of the more pricey aspects of hemp production, in exchange for data collection. So what they can do is they can apply for the program. They can get a significant discount, about half price, on their cannabinoid testing through one of our partnering labs, just in exchange for some information about the variety that they're growing, and then some of the information about their production practices. So this is really just kind of a way for us to do a large-scale data sharing with our growers and learn really quickly. We're trying to gather as much information as we can in a short period of time. And so what's really interesting about this, though, is the information then gets put onto a publicly accessible database, the Midwestern Hemp Database, and you can go in there and you can select a particular state, a particular seed provider, a particular genetic, and see how it's performing based on the responses from the growers and the results from the laboratory analysis. And so this is just a large way for us to get growers involved, researchers involved, and it's going to be continued again here in 2021.
Producers interested in participating in the Midwestern Hemp Database this year can apply online at go.illinois.edu/hempdatabase. And in local ag news, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be holding a meeting coming up on Wednesday night, the 14th. That'll be held at 7 p.m. at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. Of course, masks and social distancing will be required, and the meeting will be about 2021 events throughout the rest of the summertime. And that wraps up Ag News here on your Tuesday afternoon, but remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Tuesday afternoon, April 6th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.